Our scripture for today was read from the New Revised Standard Version, the translation from the Bible that we most often read from here in worship. But I love the wording of this passage in the Message. The Message is a paraphrase of scripture in a more modern, accessible, and kind of conversational style. And as clear as I would say it to you, Paul speaks to us in the Message. He admits, "I've learned now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy." The recipe for being happy. The recipe for joy, gratitude, a life well lived. The recipe for contentment. I think that's what we're all looking for. When I was a kid, I was constantly asking my parents what I should be when I grow up. Should I be a business person and live in New York City? Is there a job that would let me travel and experience all sorts of new cultures in different countries? Should I be a lawyer like my dad? And my mom's answer to these questions, and really most any question about my future life, was almost always the same. "I just want you to be happy." It didn't matter if I'd gone through a horrific breakup with my high school boyfriend, or if I just found out that I lost the election to be president of my college's student body. When I didn't know what my next step would be, my mom would say the same words, "I just want you to be happy." And many of those times, I think my mom's words felt a little flat to me. And understandably so, when you're looking for direction in life and how to better yourself. But I think my mom was trying to temper me. I think what she was really saying was that if your soul doesn't sing, none of that other stuff matters. I think what my mom was saying was that she just wanted me to be, when she said she just wanted me to be happy, was that she wanted me to have a roof over my head, food in my belly and more in the fridge, a job to provide for myself, people to love, people who loved me. And everything else was just lagniappe. Because those are the basics. Paul is reminding us that whether or not we have a little something extra beyond the basics, whether or not we're called to contentment. And I think the bigger point is that regardless of whether or not we have so much or we have very little, we find that our joy depends on being one of God's children. And that's why Paul gives us these words that have become so familiar, the words from Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Or in less familiar words, from the Message translation, "Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am." Because really, that's what Philippians 4:13 is saying. I can make it through anything because God makes me who I am. I can make it through having less than others without being envious, because God makes me who I am. I can make it through having more than others without being proud or excessive or wasteful, because God makes me who I am. I can be a person of God in whatever circumstances, because God's Spirit resides in me. And that's what Paul is getting at when he says that he's learned the secret to being content, whether he's well-fed or hungry, and that he's learned the recipe for happiness. And I think the major ingredient in that recipe of contentment is gratitude. And that's why we're focusing on Thanksgiving this month, focusing on gratitude and generosity, because for me, gratitude flows into contentment, and contentment flows into generosity. That's why we talked about gratitude last week, and we'll talk about generosity next week. Paul's secret to a joyful life is to enhance your gratitude regardless of what's going on in your life. Because ultimately, once our basic needs are met, our contentment has no relation to our money or the possessions we have. Yet we still strive for these things. The newest iPhone or gadget, video games, the nicest painting to go on our wall, a new dining room table or another power tool that does something only slightly different than the one before. And all of those things can bring a flicker of happiness, but not real joy, not real contentment. And we know that because we still long for them, but not in the way that our soul longs for contentment in Christ. Paul reminds us of that countercultural notion that money and possessions are not what rule us. They're not what dictate our joy and our contentment. It's in enhancing our gratitude to God that brings true contentment. And contentment is a funny thing, because often when you find your life centered around a gratefulness for what you have, your entire perspective shifts. Not only is there a joy that pervades all that you do and all that you encounter, there's also an element of feeling freed by the expectations of this world. Freed to simply live. Freed to give. You see, a life of contentment naturally reveals our overflow. Meaning that you're content with things you notice when your cup is full. And not the glass half full, half empty kind of way, but you notice what's spilling over the sides. And what's spilling over can be used to fill something else. Your excess that you no longer need because you've found contentment in being a person of God in all circumstances, as Paul speaks of, your excess can then be used to bless others. To give to people in need, to organizations creating healthier communities, to this church who's making disciples for the transformation of the world, that's forming others for a life of gratitude and contentment in Christ. And this is not some new age idea caught up in the latest fad of minimalism. This is an old, old idea that we come across in Psalm 23. A psalm that many of us grew up memorizing. My cup runneth over. I think it's my favorite verse in this entire psalm. In the middle of a psalm all about trusting God, the shepherd, the host of the banquet, we're invited to acknowledge our many blessings. And how blessing after blessing pours over the brim, to see that we have enough, so much so that it is overflowing from us. And this idea brings us back to our gratitude challenge for the month. Last week, we talked about writing down 3 to 5 things that we're thankful for every day throughout the month of November. And if you're like me and need a little accountability, maybe texting that or emailing that to someone else each day. All of this as a means of increasing our gratitude and shifting our focus away from what we don't have to what we do have. Because this practice, it really shifts our contentment and the way we live our lives. Many of you know that last year I served as a missionary, and during part of that year, I lived and worked in a Methodist community center in very, very rural Panama in Central America. Our small home was the only place in the entire community that had running water, and very few places had electricity. We had the nicest house in the entire village. It was about 600 square feet, and it had glass on some of the windows and screens on some windows, too. It was really a luxury to live there. But since there was no AC and it was like 95 degrees all the time, we kept the windows and doors open all the time, which meant the bug situation was unreal. The ants had completely taken over the home, and while we slept at night, they dug out all the grout in between the tiles that lined our floors, and we would find piles of this dirt laying in rows along where the ants were now traveling in what used to be the grout of our tiles. The ants owned our home. They literally covered our floors. It was gross. The mosquitoes with malaria were everywhere. There were swarming ants. But the worst was the bugs while we slept. At first, we thought we had bed bugs, but luckily we didn't. But I kept waking up with bites all over me and blood on my sheets. And by the time we found out that they were really just these biting gnat things that swarmed around us at night, we never quite figured it out because we didn't have internet and we don't know that much about insects. But needless to say, it wasn't pleasant. And I really struggled with our living situation in Panama, even though we probably had the best living situation out of anyone in our community. I complained all the time to Adam about the extreme heat and the bugs. And my complaining was wearing on both of us. And we didn't want it to affect how we were serving or how we interacted with our hosts, who were so gracious and so kind to us. And that's when I remembered the gratitude list, a practice I'd done a few years before. And so I started it up again in Panama. I wrote down three things every day that I was grateful for the rest of the time we lived there. Wild iguanas that lived in our backyard and luckily ate some of those bugs. Fried plantains. Parrots that woke us up in the morning. The extreme kindness and dedication of the indigenous health workers in the community. Delicious guisos, which made our daily meal of rice and beans. Ugh, amazing. So much so that Adam and I are still trying to perfect that. And I even saw some good in the ants, because they carried away the dead bugs that were on our floor at night while we slept. This daily gratitude list, it didn't change a single thing about the life I was living or the things that were bothering me. But it made all the difference in my attitude. It shifted the way I saw and encountered the world around me. This exercise of writing down the things we're grateful for, it's about slowly training ourselves into a life of contentment. Most of us are accustomed to waking up and thinking about our problems, about our aches and our pains. But instead, this exercise, it helps shift us. Shift that focus away from the few things that are wrong to the many things that are beautiful and wonderful in our life. And in the process of making your own gratitude list, I hope you'll begin to see what you treasure most in life. I hope you'll begin to see where your cup runs over, to see where that overflow might feed right into a need here in this church, here in our community, a need that fits into God's mission for you and God's mission for this church. That when we meet, ushers in the coming of God's kingdom right here and right now. So back to where we started. In my quest to figure out my career path as an adult or how I would handle losing the election as student body president, I got wrapped up in the wrong motives of trying to better myself without remembering all that I was grateful for. And that's when my mom's voice would start up again. "I just want you to be happy. The rest is just lagniappe." The secret, the recipe for contentment that Paul is talking about is all about realizing that we are God's beloved. It's all about living into the items that you place on your gratitude list. It's about realizing that for most of us, our cup is in fact running over. That we have plenty of room to give and plenty reason to smile. Amen.